This podcast brought to you by Hope 103.2.
Guys, it is our pleasure to be joined by Andy Grammer. Hello.
So good to be here.
Welcome to Australia.
How are you?
I'm very well, and I'm very glad to see that you actually decided to bring your show back into our country.
Yes, it's lovely, and everybody's always so good to me here. And I'm so psyched to be here actually with my band. I've been here a bunch doing like solo stuff, opening up for other bands, doing TV shows with kind of by myself. But, you know, we were just in contact with the rest of my guys, and we're going to throw some parties.
Is it like having the guys with you as opposed to doing it with yourself and, I guess, session musos?
It's just a smaller version of what we like to do. Like, when we play shows throughout the year, like a ton of shows, and we have our way of being together. I'm a solo artist, but my band is, like, pretty important to me. They're all really close. A lot of them have been with me for, like, 8 to 9 years.
Yeah.
So it's, like, it's a whole thing.
It's your family.
It's my family, yeah.
And you have just released your new single, Give Love. You're working on a new album, but that all began with busking, it feels like, forever ago, probably.
Long time ago, yeah.
Why did you originally start busking?
It's just kind of freedom of speech. Like, you're not allowed to tell me to stop.
Yeah.
When you're trying to get into clubs and nobody will book you, then it's still a good way to just kind of practice and get a lot of feedback from people as they're walking by, whether they like what you're doing or not.
Yeah, and the hard thing is getting them to actually stop, I guess.
It's hard.
How did you make them listen and feel like what you were doing was important?
Yeah, I think that, you know, like, development as an artist is, like, people have different ways of developing and trying stuff out and getting information back. And for me, the street was a wonderful way to do that. Play a song, people don't stop. Play another song, people don't stop. Play a third song, and they like that one for some reason. So you keep that one. It's, like, very basic.
Yeah.
But just a lot of energy and time put into, like, getting better on the street.
What were the best tactics for you, do you think?
Well, there's, like, gimmicks, right?
Yep.
You might be able to get someone's attention with a gimmick, but the only way that they're going to pull $10 out of their pocket and buy your CD is if you get them in their heart with a good song. So there's, like, lots of little tactics. Like, if you're lucky enough to get 5 or 10 people around, you say, okay, I'm going to play one chord and you're all going to scream your faces off. And then you do that, and everybody kind of looks over, and then you just, you know, you build up a crowd.
Yeah.
There's a lot of, like, again, like, little gimmicks to make a crowd bigger. But at the end of the day, once you have a crowd, if you don't play something that moves them, they'll all just leave.
Do you look back on it fondly and have good memories of that season?
Yes. Oh, I love it. But I do go back sometimes to the street, and I'm, like, glad that I don't do it anymore.
Yeah, yeah.
But it was a really great, great place to get started.
And you mentioned that ability to connect people and actually move their heart with your music. That's one of the things I think is really obvious in your lyrics and in what you share.
You.
How have you found a way to actually draw people in and connect to their hearts in music?
I think that it's what my main goal in songwriting is to try and write proofs, like life proofs, like scientifically, that people like publish papers and they try to write out something that hasn't been written yet that we all go through. And so when you write it down and then you give it to everybody else and they go like, oh yeah, totally. This happens to me all the time. And you actually wrote out what it was. I think that a great song has that in it.
Yeah. And one of the biggest songs you've written was, of course, Keep Your Head Up. That got everybody going. Yep. I love seeing it in Pitch Perfect.
Thank
Congratulations
you so
for that. That song has such fun and such joy in it. What was the story behind that?
That was just, you know, my mom passed away when I was 25, and I was street performing, and very poor, not a lot of prospects, and that came after a long day of just not making any money on the street.
Yeah, wow.
So you're just kind of like, am I crazy right now? Because my other friends have real jobs. And I'm a street performer, like, which sometimes gets confused with homelessness. It's not, I wasn't homeless, but I'm out there and I'm just doing my thing, and I'm getting no validation from any direction.
Yep.
So I kind of wrote that song for myself.
Did you feel like it made a difference to your feeling of validation?
Didn't make me feel more validated, but I think that there's a place in everybody's mind that you can go to that against all odds, it will still work. I have a lot of stressful things going on in my life, but where I rest and where I end is, like, I know that it's going to work out.
Yeah.
And I have to tell myself that a lot, even when it's hard to believe that. So I think that Keep Your Head Up did that for me when I wrote it from a place of, like, no matter what, it's going to work. And and then when people heard it, I think it gave them that same thing.
And you share a lot with your listeners and your fans, because particularly in songs like Holding Out, those sorts of songs, the lyrics are just so honest. You share a lot about what you went through, waiting for love, and all of the temptations that can come with that. What motivates you to be so honest about your life experience?
I think that when you are operating in a space that could be considered positive, that word is the worst. And I don't know, I wish there was a better word. When you're operating in a space that is uplifting or positive, the way that it gets so cheesy so fast is when you're not brutally honest. We all have different spectrums to ourselves, and it's just cooler, inherently cooler, if you play a minor chord and talk about your sorrows. You are inherently cooler. I don't know why.
Yeah.
Right off the bat.
Yep.
If you play a major chord and you sing about things that are going well, it's inherently cheesier. It happens immediately. And the only thing that I can find that makes operating in those spaces and writing songs in spaces not cheesy is when I'm just brutally honest about the whole situation. And I also think that when you share sincerely of the full spectrum of yourself, then people trust you. You know, a song like Keep Your Head Up, if I was just singing that just because, I don't know, I just kind of had a bad day, I think that the listener could kind of tell. I know that's like seems a little bit airy-fairy, but when you hear me sing it, it's like, I'm not saying these words directly, but like, I just lost my mom, which is terrible. I have no money. I'm really going through it right now, and I'm still going to write a song that says, you got to keep your head up. And now that I want to hear. I don't want to hear just like, everything's cool because, like, for no reason, you know? So I think that honesty in my line of work is the only chance I have.
Yeah. And knowing that your music is something that gives people a lot of joy, we have a lot of fun when we listen to it, when we dance to it at your live shows, is that part of what you want to give to the listeners when they listen?
Yeah, I hope that you feel happy. I hope that you know, like, I think that music is a kind of a mirror, and when you hear it, you relate to yourself while you're listening to it. And if I'm someone that can relate to you some of the joys of being alive, then that's really special.
How have you been able to find that joy and put it into your music when you say, like, you've gone through a lot to have your mum pass away, and particularly at a season of life where you're stepping out into the rest of your life? How have you dealt with that?
You know, that was again, I think it was really important. It's kind of a sad thing to say, but to be someone that maybe one of their purposes on this planet is to make people happy, I think that it's good to have, like I didn't have a lot of compassion before my mom passed away because life was pretty easy. And so you don't really want to hear happy songs from someone whose life is easy.
Right. Yeah. You're better able to identify with people and like kind of see their sorrow and have compassion. That's really cool. And I know that for you as well, like you say, you find purpose in music. What do you feel like your purpose is in music?
I think my purpose is to be someone who writes these proofs, like really spend a lot of energy and time to write out these proofs so that we can all relate with them together. That's might sound pretentious for like a guy who writes pop songs, but that's my goal. That's what I really try to do. And I work pretty intensely obsessively.
This sound is processed by StereoTool. Go to StereoTool.com.
And I wrote about 115 songs to get the 12 that I think are so good that are these proofs. And each one, right? Like I was listening to it the other day, just like one after another. The 12 that made it out of those 115 all hit my standard for what I think it should be.
Yeah.
And I just, I teared up just listening to them over, like down the line of like how hard it is to get that feeling.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
So I'm really excited.
How do you squeeze out 115 songs? That is a lot.
It's a lot. You know, I brought an extra bus on my last tour, on the Gavin tour that we did together. And there was a studio in the back there. So I'm just writing all the time and just always chasing these ideas and trying to write it out or sing it in a way that hasn't quite been sung yet.
And what do you think 15-year-old Andy would think of everything that you've done right now? You've had platinum singles, you've had increasing success, you've toured with an amazing amount of people.
Yeah. 15-year-old Andy couldn't see this. He would be totally blown away. And if you asked him whether he could do it, he'd deep down in his heart be like, I mean, I guess, but he'd have no idea of the way to actually do it. I think that a lot of times I think it's like a Tony Robbins thing. He says, we overestimate what we can do in like a week, and we underestimate what we can do in a decade.
Yeah. Claim that as your own.
Put your head down and just keep going hard and working hard. The things that are capable of happening are truly magic.
Yeah.
You know?
Do you think your perspective on all of that has changed since becoming a dad? Congratulations, by the way.
Thank you so much, yeah. Okay, so what having a daughter has made me realize is like, I'm going to tell her things, and that's going to mean nothing. The only thing that's going to matter is she's going to look at me and be like, kind of like watch how I am in the world.
Yeah.
So that's made me a little bit freaked out. I have to brush up on all of my life.
Yeah, it's like the do what I do and not do what I say
exactly,
thing. Right.
Yeah.
Was she born to a soundtrack of Andy Grammer music?
No, she was born to a soundtrack, a Louisiana playlist. Her name's Louisiana.
Yep.
And so there's a lot of jazz, and my wife's family is from there. And so I made a playlist with all songs that had Louisiana in the title. So she was born to a lot of jazz. It's really sweet.
That is pretty cool. Do you think she'll have the musical gene?
My wife is an incredible singer and songwriter as well, so I would guess probably. But yeah. If she doesn't, it's all good, whatever she wants.
And now this new album that you're working on, does it have a title that we can call it? Can we call it anything yet?
It does, but I don't think I can say it yet.
Okay.
They're like catching me like a week too early.
All right, yeah, what are we expecting from the new music?
We're expecting, in my opinion, just like great songs. These are the best. This is the best collection of songs I feel I've ever put out. And I take that very seriously when I say that statement. I'm the most excited I've ever been to put all this out.
What's made you so excited about it?
Kind of going back to like these, the song proof thing, the life proof, like each one, in my opinion, has that element in it for me. Mm. And, you know, going into my third album, having done a lot of this before, you know, coming back to places and getting ready to tour for like the 8th, 9th, 10th time. It's really sweet to be so excited.
Yeah.
Like there's no amount of like, oh, we already did that. It's like with this new music, all I want to do is share this with everybody. I think it's really good.
Yeah, and one of the great things about like what you've been able to do as an artist is that you've come into the industry at a level of maturity and with life experience that a lot of the younger artists just don't.
Sure.
Do you feel like that's impacted your experience of the music industry?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting because like, say I got lucky and at like 16 had a hit. It's like, I don't know. Hopefully I would have been as good a songwriter. And there are a lot of people that are able to do that at such a young age. But to me, my favorite thing is to go into the deeper parts of life and try to write them into pop songs.
Yeah. Who keeps you honest about what you write and which songs are good and which ones you just think are good?
Okay, so I have a manager who's almost confusing to call him a manager because he's got like an incredible ear. So it's not just like he's like a creative partner. And we really are intense about which songs make the cut and which ones don't. And my wife as well. You can also just tell. Like, like if I played you a new song right now, I'm pretty good at telling, like, it goes back to street performing, right?
Right.
Like, if I play a song for people on the street, they go, that's great. Or they go, like, holy. And they take out their wallet and they buy it from me. Like, it's not that hard to tell what there is.
Yeah.
Like the difference between someone really getting somebody with something or not getting them. Okay does use nothing in this industry. It doesn't do anything.
Yeah.
And so the reactions from the people that I've played the music for has been the good ones.
Yeah. How do you get from street to stage as an artist and actually make that cut?
You have to be good enough and you have to be doing a service to people's ears. In the beginning, when you start playing, if I was not very good and I played for you, you'd be giving me your attention.
Mm.
If I'm good, now I'm giving you something.
Right.
So if you're able to switch that through your songs, through your voice, through your presentation. I mean, we were walking back from a movie last night, and this girl was a street performer, and she was freaking good. And she was giving to me, and I like looked her up on Instagram. I might try to get her to play at the show.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah.
Hey, well, I wanted to give you something while you're here. I know that you've been to Australia once before,
but
there is a couple of things in there that will help you,
learn
about
much.
Australia,
okay,
but
great.
Also something for your family, too.
Okay, so this is the Tim Tam thing.
Yes. Have you tried it? You've done Tim Tams before?
I think so. Is it like with hot chocolate or something?
Yes, you do hot chocolate.
You bite it off and then suck it through a straw.
Each corner, suck it through. Yep, Tim Tam Slam. Got to do that.
This is gross, and everybody gets it for you.
Really? Have you actually eaten any of the ones that people have given you?
No. So maybe I'm just...
that can go in the back of your pantry. I do, but you've got to spread it thin.
Hold on. You like this?
Yes. You've got to spread it thin, though, with butter underneath.
I feel like even just the smell of it is crazy. I think it's an Australian thing.
You're not really calling Australia your second home.
Magic. What?
Now, you do need... That one is... That has context. So I've given you unicorn poo.
Unicorn poo.
Yes, but...
It smells like magic.
I figure when you've had enough of changing nappies and human poo, you can deal with some fun unicorn poo.
That's actually very sparkly.
Very, very
thoughtful
gift.
You're
very welcome.
I appreciate that. And then, I mean, there's a lot of things in here.
There's a handful.
Okay,
you don't have to look at it all
later.
Now. You can look at it later. You're very welcome.
Thank you,
Grandma, thank you so much for joining us.
I appreciate you. Thank you, dear. Amazing.
Thanks for listening. Start your day with Life Words. Subscribe to Hope 1032's free daily email devotional at hope1032.com.au.